Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. With the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm not. I'm Wayne.
You're Wayne. And this is episode 62.
Wow. It's almost as old as I am.
Yes.
Almost.
I think you said that about episode 61.
It's gaining on me.
It is.
Anyway. What are we going to talk about now, honey?
Well, we advertise our podcast as being for married Christian couples, but also being for couples who are thinking about getting married or planning a wedding. And I thought today we would talk about wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually going to the wedding of a friend tomorrow. We're very excited for her and like the guy she's marrying a lot and are just very, very excited about going.
Yep.
And it got me thinking about weddings and about our wedding. Now, our wedding was almost 40 years ago. What were some of your favorite parts of the wedding ceremony and reception?
Besides marrying you?
Yes, besides marrying me, but thank
you. Well, I mean, the flowers were nice. The ceremony was nice. The candelabras were nice.
Yes, we had a candlelight wedding in a Presbyterian church with candelabras that had been made by one of the church elders for his daughter's wedding. And I think she was still alive when we got married.
I think so.
She was very elderly. So
yeah.
They were used in the church every year for Christmas Eve service and special occasions. And we got to use them for our wedding. And it's really beautiful.
So, but there, I mean, there's a lot of other, I don't know. I think of some of the other things that were a little more probably out of the ordinary, like getting lost, me getting lost before you came out. So there was two rooms in the two doors at the front of the church, and apparently I didn't know which one I was supposed to go in. So I believe you didn't realize this until we watched the wedding video.
We watched the video, yes. We have a VCR tape. That's because this is almost 40 years ago. Yes. And it shows our soloist up in the front singing songs prior to the start of the wedding and Wayne wandering around between the two doors on either side of the altar.
Yep.
It was entertaining.
Yep. Yep. So that was one. Let's see. Well, the trumpet player that was a little bit I guess he wasn't under the weather, but he was feeling no pain.
He was under the influence.
He was under the influence.
I was a member of the staff of a competitive band when we got married. And actually, all the band directors that I was working with had been my band directors when I was in high school. And we wanted to do something unusual. So we had trumpet voluntary for our processional. And I can't remember the name of the piece that was recessional. But anyway, I asked the two band directors who were trumpet players to play this for the wedding. And apparently the one band director was so nervous that he gave himself a little liquid courage before the wedding. And I guess it turned out he gave himself
a lot of liquid courage
before the wedding. But he played beautifully.
But he played really well.
It was really nice.
If I remember correctly, talking was a little bit more of an issue.
Yeah, later.
But he played really well.
He had a good time at the reception.
He did.
Anyway.
But anyway. But yeah. And it was my favorite wedding that I was ever in.
That's true. It was your third wedding.
Well, it took me three times to get it right.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And I did.
Thank you. Yes, and it was a little challenging because we were trying to do everything
different.
So it wasn't in any way, shape, or form like his first wedding. So I forgot about that part of it.
Oh, yeah. That's why we ended up doing the honeymoon where we did the honeymoon.
Oh, yes. Well, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
That was a budget honeymoon. We had a budget wedding and a budget honeymoon, too.
Yes, we did. But it was neat. It was cool. It was great. It was all.
My favorite part of the wedding is at the bottom. We had, so the sanctuary was on the second floor. So when it was time to do the receiving line, we had to go down to the bottom of the stairs. And I realized that Wayne was crying, and I was so tired. I'm like, why are you crying? And you were you told me you were crying because you were so happy.
I was.
I was very touched by that. And when the photographer was taking pictures later, he kept wanting to take a serious picture of me. I could not stop smiling. I was so happy that he just gave up finally because it wasn't doing any good. Mm. And I liked for the reception, a lot of things with the reception ended up not going the way that I had planned them because people changed things after we had set up. And that's a whole different story. Mm. But anyway, and then, I mean, that's things go wrong and things go not according to plan. But we actually did the decorations and the table. I wanted it to be colorful and fun. I wanted the reception to be like a party because we were so excited we were getting married. And as I said, I was an instructor with a band. I was a color guard instructor. We were using these flame flags that I just loved. They had a red and orange and yellow stripe in them and then flame tails on. And I actually made all the decorations for the reception around that red, orange, and yellow theme. We had balloons. We didn't. Yep, that's what we had balloons. For favors on the table. We got married in the fall, and I bought very inexpensive small chrysanthemum plants, and I picked three balloons in each plant, and I just ran a piece of burgundy ribbon down the table because my bridesmaids' dresses were burgundy, and that was how we decorated it. Mm-hmm. And it looked really great. Mm-hmm. And it was really festive and fun.
Mm-hmm. I had a good time.
Yeah. Did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
I did too. So we could tell some other stories anyway. But
we could.
But that's to get on this. So I actually found an interesting article on a website I have never visited before. It's called lingsmoment.com. And as always, I will put the link in the description of the podcast so you can visit it. I found this article called How to Plan a Wedding on a Budget of $1,000, 12 Easy Steps for the Ultimate Budget Wedding Day. Now, and as far as I could tell, this was written in 2022. I'm not sure you could do it for $1,000 in 2024, but some of the things, it's like, I don't even want to know based on the costs that they have here, what they would cost today. So at the time this article was written, it said it gave common wedding expenses and the typical going rate for those, a wedding ceremony and a reception. The venue rental was an average of $10,700. A marriage license was $60, and that varies by state. The officiant was $300 average, invitations $530 average, a photographer $2,500 on average, catering $75 per person average, $500 on average for the cake, $1,400 to $4,300 for a DJ or a live band, $2,150 for attire, so I'm assuming that means the wedding gown, the tuxes, everything that was there. Flowers were an average of $2,300 and hair and makeup an average of $250.
Wow.
It's like, wow. I know. It's like, who has that kind of money? And I've always wondered why people spend so much money on weddings. There was a gal I worked with at one of my jobs, a number of jobs ago, and she had lived with her significant other for 7 years. They had three children, but yet she decided she wanted this huge marriage. Now, they were living in a rented place, and she ended up having this big, extravagant wedding. She had seven bridesmaids and seven groomsmen. They had the whole blowout wedding, and I was like, you could have bought a house. You know, because she would complain about renting. I'm like, you could have bought a house. Put a down payment on a house with the amount that you were spending on the wedding. Especially this was probably about 15 years ago. So, I mean, it definitely at that time. Wedding expenses can just be outrageous. Now, if you have a family that is well off and can give you the wedding of your dreams, and or maybe they have some kind of status that they need to maintain, so they're willing to put on a big wedding show, have at it and enjoy. But if you're more typical, what I see happening today, where the bride and the groom are the ones footing the bill for the wedding, take some of the tips that they have in here to save yourself some money. And one of the things that brought this to mind to be a topic for the podcast was we were actually talking to a bride-to-be, and she was talking about some of the pressures from her family to do certain things.
Certain ways,
and that it wasn't really what she and her fiancé wanted, and it was causing her a lot of stress. My advice to her was, the wedding is for you and your fiancé. It's to bring your friends and family together to celebrate the union of the two of you into your marriage. But it's your day, and it's going to be your memory. So, like, we're sitting here talking about things we remember from our wedding. I would be very hard-pressed to tell you anything about anybody else's wedding other than our daughter's wedding. Like, as far as, like, I mean, we were to all our daughter's friends' weddings. If I thought about it hard enough, I could maybe tell you something I liked about the venue, or, you know, that it was very, very nice. But I couldn't tell you what people were wearing. I couldn't tell you what the decorations were or what the flowers were. I can't tell you what the music is. I couldn't tell you what the ceremony was like. It's one of those things, like, you don't remember it because it's not your day, and it's not in your brain catalog. It's not something that's important. It's important to the bride and groom. Mm-hmm. So you need to do you. This was my advice to them. It's like, don't let other people pressure them, especially if they're not paying for it. It's one thing if they're paying for it, but if they're not paying for it, don't let them pressure you into doing things that you don't want to do. You do not need to invite your third cousin twice removed that you haven't seen in 30 years. Mm-hmm. And you can decide to just have your close family and your closest friends, and that be who is there. You don't have to be obligated to invite everybody from your work there. I was just having this discussion with a coworker the other day about work relationships. It's like, you spend so much time with the people that you work with, actually more than you do anybody else in your day, because you spend most of your waking hours at work. However, I have found, because I have worked at 8 different agencies now over my 44-year career, you think you're going to be friends forever with the people that you work with, but 9 times out of 10, you're rarely, if ever, going to see or talk to those people again. They are not your true friends. They're your coworkers. They're not the people. Every once in a while, I mean, I have a couple good friends, but they, you know, they're not it. So you don't have to invite everybody. Some of the tips that they had in this article are to find a budget-friendly or a free venue, like somebody's backyard, or, you know, a property. Maybe somebody has a lake house, or there's a community park. If you've graduated from a college, you might be able to use your college. And my first choice would be, if you belong to a church, that use your church. Usually there's not a lot of expenses involved in renting the church.
Yeah, especially if you're a member of the church, it's usually pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and they were talking about then, you know, the reception. You don't have to have a big fancy reception. And really, it's nice when they serve a meal. You don't need to feed everybody. Plan your wedding for the afternoon and have cake and cookies. Do the old-fashioned church hall cake and ice cream and cookies reception, and go on your way, and or have an early morning wedding. That's probably not very practical, but, you know, you could serve brunch. I mean, you can do a lot of different things. You can just have tea sandwiches. Does anybody do tea sandwiches anymore? I don't know if anybody knows what I mean by tea sandwiches, little sandwiches, but you could just do that.
I eat them.
There was a suggestion in here to do a potluck where everybody brings that. I've actually seen potluck weddings where people brought now this was back when people had to stock a kitchen. I think a lot of times now, people that are getting married today, they've lived apart from each other. It's kind of like when we got married, you had an apartment, I had an apartment, and we had lots of stuff to bring together. But if you're just setting up housekeeping for the first time, I've seen these potlucks where people bring the food for the reception in the baking or serving container,
that's
a gift. So you can do that. It's talked about sending evites over invites because of the cost of postage. My gosh, it's 60 cents a stamp now? And I would say that most of the people that you're inviting, you can invite through email or through an Evite system. And, you know, make a design in Canva for free. You can get a Canva account for free. Make a design and print off a couple to send to Great Aunt Mary or somebody that you know that doesn't use email and won't do things online. Get it to them. There was actually a suggestion in this article to DIY your wedding cake mm-hmm. with boxed cake mixes. That's not for the faint of heart. I don't know that I would try that, but I think you could do other practical things. Do you need a huge wedding cake? Can you just have a small two-layer cake that you can do the traditional cake cutting with and then have cupcakes? You could bake the cupcakes yourself, or a family member could do the cupcakes, and you could just purchase the little cake to cut. I've seen that. I've seen setups where they had different cheesecakes at the wedding, and just one little tier cake to have a topper on and cut. And they talked about doing a cookie dessert bar, or even a donut dessert bar. If you were doing a brunch wedding, you could do that. Yeah. Oh, rent a wedding dress. I never thought about this before, but there you have, I saw this on another, somebody I follow on YouTube, that they were renting dresses for her sister's wedding, and they were renting dresses for her and for her three daughters who were going to be the little junior bridesmaids in the wedding. But you can rent your dress, and that would save a lot of money, because I can tell you, you're never going to do anything with it again. I ended up burning mine because it got ruined in the attic, even though I had all the special stuff done to it to preserve it forever and whatever. Yeah, didn't work. Anyway, and the same for a groom's suit. You can find plenty of suit rentals at local shops, so it doesn't even have to be a tux. You know, and I love the trend where the bridesmaids' dresses are similar color or a similar style, but they're all different. And you can get... Each bridesmaid can get what fits them the best, what style is most flattering for them. I mean, maybe you want them all to be mid-length, maybe you want them to be full-length, maybe you want them to be short, and you just set a parameter about them. But then they have a dress that they can wear and they're not stuck. I remember being stuck with bridesmaid dresses, and I think I ended up, I don't know what I did with them, but anyway, I never wore them again for anything else. This one is a big one, DIY your own floral arrangements. And this, when you check out this site, this lingsmoment.com actually has kits that you can buy. Make sure you check out this site. They have great color themes and cute ways to decorate on a budget and kits that you can get either the flowers made. And definitely, I mean, I know real flowers are pretty. Flowers right now are so expensive. I can't even imagine. So either, unless you've got somebody, a mom with a garden or a grandma with a garden that you can pick things out, I would go artificial. And I saw, was it in Michael's or Joanne? It was in one of the hobby places. They actually had pre-made bouquets that looked so real. Mm. And they were not very expensive. And they would be perfect for a wedding. And then you have them to, you know, use a decoration. You can put them in a vase or something. So anyway, this is running into the very end of the time. But check this out. But really, really think about what you and your future spouse want. What is it that you want to remember about your day? What are the things that are important to you? And then make those things happen and let some of the other stuff go. Just let it go, because nobody but you is really going to remember what happened that day. Maybe your parents, but that's it. So you do you. Don't spend a fortune on a wedding. Have the ceremony that you want that's meaningful to you, and put that extra money in a down payment on a house. So until next time, we pray that your wedding planning will be richly blessed. And if you're already married, we pray that your relationship and marriage will be richly blessed.
Yep. God bless. Bye now.
Bye.